This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 306, for the weekend of October 27th through October 29th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office, a podcast where we talk about movies, TV, and other things that we might find interesting, and we hope you do too. Art, how is it going over there?
It is going very well. I am finally feeling 100%. I feel like I've got anything hanging on to me. The weather is finally cooling off here in the great state of Texas, so I really can't complain.
Me neither. And speaking of cooling off, well, we'll let you guys decide. Let's start our first segment where we talk about the box office results for last weekend. So this is going to be for the weekend of October 20th through October 22nd. And so here's your top five movies that were in the box office or at the theaters last week. At number one, Tyler Perry's Boo 2! A Madea Halloween, $21.2 million. At number two, we have another new release, Geostorm, $13.7 million. At number three, in its second week of release, Happy Death Day, at $9.4 million. At number four, in its third week of release, Blade Runner 2049, with $7.4 million. And another new release, Only the Brave, came in with an even $6 million. So there's your top five. Anything you'd like to say, Art?
How about that performance from the Madea movie? I mean,
yeah,
my
goodness. Some additional numbers. Number one at the box office last weekend by $7.5 million, even though it was nearly in 1,000 theaters less than every other movie in the top five, with the exception of Only the Brave. It was only in about 100 or 200 less kind of thing. On average, going to the top five, 8,889, and then Geostorm, 4,223, and then all the other ones were in the 2,000 range. And $25 million budget.
Yeah, no, very nice.
Yeah, so why does he keep making these movies?
Because they're making money. And, you know, it may not be the Hollywood blockbuster, but for the budgets they put up, they make a good amount of money. And I find them very entertaining. So, I don't know. Richard is doing a fantasy draft, and I'm going to have to find out if he took that one or not and see how he's doing. I heard he wasn't doing too well, but we'll see. I need an update from him.
Okay, so a fantasy draft with who?
Just like, I think it's online. It's the thing he participates in, and it's based on per screen average, actually.
Okay.
So this Madea Halloween 2 would have been a huge based on the per screen average.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I'll get some more info from him on it. What exactly it is. He wants us to do another full blown draft.
Okay.
He wants to participate. So.
All right. Very good. Very good. Good job, Art. Good job. Okay. So that's going to end our look at last weekend's box office. So now let's move over to what is happening at the theater this weekend. And to be honest, it's not much, but Art's going to tell us about the one movie that's coming out wide release this weekend.
Okay, we have Jigsaw. Rated 33% rotten on the tomato meter. There's only 6 reviews counted, 2 fresh, 4 rotten. No consensus yet. 90% want to see it out of about 8,500 users. 13 years ago, on Halloween weekend, Saw and the character of Jigsaw introduced the world to a new face of horror. For 7 straight years, if it's Halloween, it must be Saw, was a holiday tradition. This October 27th, Liongate and Twisted Pictures proudly present Jigsaw. After a series of murders bearing all the markings of the Jigsaw killer, law enforcement find themselves chasing the ghost of a dead man for over a decade and embroiled in a new game that's only just begun. Is John Kramer back from the dead to remind the world to be grateful for the gift of life? Or is this a trap set by a killer with designs of their own? Rated R for sequences of grisly, bloody violence and torture, and for language. genres drama and horror, directed by Michael Spierig and Peter Spierig, written by Josh Stolberg and Peter Goldfinger, runtime 91 minutes. And I don't recognize any of these people. Let's see. We'll start at the top. Matt Passmore, Callum Keith Renee, Clay Bennett, Hannah Emily Anderson, Laura Vandervoot, Mandela Van Peebles. I'm not going to keep going because I do not recognize any of these people. Do you know any of these names?
Laura Vandervoort sounds familiar. I think she was on. She was on V.
Okay.
No, it looks like on that well. I think they're only going to list her movies.
Yeah, I don't know, but I have no interest in this whatsoever. I've never seen any of the Saw movies.
Yeah, she was on V.
Okay.
She also played Indigo on the Supergirl television series.
Haven't watched that.
2015. Okay. Yeah, I have no interest in the what is called torture porn.
Torture porn. Yep.
Yeah. So. I don't know what else there is, what there is to say. You know, I think, you know, I might have the odd occurrence of going to see a movie on Halloween, but this is definitely not going to be one of them.
Right, right. I know what I'm going to say. I'm going to say I hope Madea beats it out.
Well, I'm going to read one review, and this is a fresh one from Rob Lean from Den of Geek, who gives it a 3 out of 5 stars. The cast just about sells it all, making the brisk runtime fly by. You'll wince. You'll while away 90 minutes. You'll struggle to work it all out. What more do you expect from a Saw film?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nope.
I don't know what to say. All right. So that's going to end our look at this week's box office. I'm sorry, not box office. What was in the theaters last week? Sorry, I don't know what else to say. All right, here we go. Now that we're done looking at what's in the theaters, now we're going to go over to Share Time. And this is a part of the show where Art and myself talk about what we've been up to as far as what media we've been consuming, like TV, movies, and all the other stuff. In addition to that, we play voicemails that we get occasionally. And we did get one from Mr. Tad. So, again... Thank you, Tad. You're the man. So tell us what you've been watching.
Hey, Backseat Box Office. This is Tad calling in. I hope this gets in before you guys record. You guys are able to get it and put it in. Sorry about not calling in last week. My dogs were killing my chickens, so I had to build the dog run, and I just didn't get around to calling in. And I really don't like digging post holes, but you know, it's got to be done. It's got to be done. So anyway. What I've been watching. Well, I've been watching Star Trek Discovery. My wife already had CBS All Access. She really likes that show, the FBI profiling show. The name's not coming to me right now. And it's a pretty good show, but she had it just so, you know, so she could watch that and get stuff. So I was already getting it. I didn't have to pay for it to get it to watch Star Trek Discovery. And a lot of people have been kind of complaining about it, not like in the Klingons and whatever, but I guess I'm just not all that, you know, I'll take it. And if I like it, I like it. I'm not really all that, you know, stuck on, you know, what's happened in the past and canon and stuff like that. And if they want to change things up a little bit and it's still a good story and a good show, I'll watch it and like it. And I have to say, I really like it. I just like the show. It's a good show. It's a nice show. It's very pretty. And the story's all right also. All right. I've also been watching The Gifted, which is kind of the Fox, X-Men show. And it's pretty good. I'm really liking it. Yeah, good show. I've watched the first episode or two of The Inhumans. I'm kind of okay about it right now. I'm going to watch a few more episodes and kind of go from there. Just keep watching it. Let's see what else. I'm on season 4 of The Arrow now. I'm still liking it. I don't have any problem with it. I know a lot of people kind of around season 3, season 4 weren't very happy with it. I'm kind of a little bit tired of all the angsty stuff that's going on, but, you know, it's all right. So, hey, thanks for the show, guys. Sorry for my kind of semi-incoherent babbling, but, I like the show, and, glad you guys do it. All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. And thank you for that report, Tad. So now you might have to be our Star Trek Discovery reporter,
because yeah.
I'm not subscribing as of this moment. I don't think you are.
I'm still on the fence. I really enjoyed that first episode. I agree with him on all points. I think the word he was really looking for is he's not a Star Trek purist, and I'd say that I'm not either, because I'm one of the few who was like, I preferred the new movies, you know, with Chris Pine, and so. I'm definitely not one of the purists, and I like new things, and it's the new shiny, and I really appreciate it, and I'm totally on board with Tad. And like I said, if I can get caught up enough with what I'm watching on Netflix, I probably will subscribe, or maybe once all the episodes have dropped and then I can binge them, maybe I'll jump on then. That'll probably be the timing that I go for, is when they've all dropped.
Yeah, I don't think I'm a purist. I expect a high level of quality for a Star Trek show. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. And, you know, as far as The Gifted, you know, I was looking forward to that, and then I just end up missing the premiere, and we'll see if it lasts the season, especially with Fox.
Ooh. Kiss of death right there.
Yeah. So, all right. So, thank you for that, Tad. Now, Art, is your turn to tell us what you've been watching.
Okay, so Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. continues to plug along. Gilmore Girls also continuing to plug along. But I actually got to watch a couple of movies, not at the theater, actually at home. So I picked up The Emoji Movie because we were in the checkout and Aubrey saw it. And I was like, hey, you've been a good kid lately. Let's pick that up. And right next to it was Sitting Ant-Man. So I basically did a double feature. I watched Emoji Movie with her, and it was very entertaining. I thought it was very well done. It was very – it was the social media movie kind of, you know. I mean, it was entertaining. I do not regret watching it, and I will probably watch it again. Ant-Man was fantastic. I can't believe I went this long with that hole in my MCU card. It the time it came out, I just never got around to seeing it. I never got around to picking it up. And, but it was really, really good. I appreciated it, just in so many ways. It was so well done. And, yeah, if you haven't seen Ant-Man, you're missing out. I went to a convention this past weekend. I talked about, you know, that's the big thing that was coming up for me this week, and had a lot of fun, played a few games, met up with some people. Richard, Daniel, and Sid all came out, and we played a few games together. We actually had played games the night before on Friday. Friday. It was Friday. We stayed up way too late till like – maybe 4 a.m, drinking, carrying on, yelling, causing way too much ruckus.
It is Texas. Go ahead.
I got up early and I was there early. They all slept in and they're all much younger than me, so I laughed at them and then they went home early. but yeah, it was a very fun time. I always enjoy going out to RuperCon and have fun. Helping out with the library, playing games, teaching people games, just fun all around. So that was my very, very busy week.
All right. So my share time is I'm keeping trucking along with Better Things. They had a very good episode about mom feeling underappreciated, so they kind of throw her like a fake funeral. It was kind of weird, but it was kind of funny, but it was very touching. And I got around to watching a couple more episodes of Killjoys, and I'm noticing that they kind of do this thing where they have maybe like a 2-episode arc where they kind of, and at the end, they kind of completely wrap it up, and then everyone, you know, the band's back together kind of thing. And that's definitely what happened, at the point that, where we're at now. So I'm still liking it. I was enjoying the whole hack mod kind of side quest kind of thing. And kind of sad that Johnny Sidekick won't be. I hope they bring her back, but I don't think she's going to be on the show as much as she has been in the past. So I'm really liking Killjoys. Other than that, I haven't been watching too much. It just seems like every time I start The Defenders, something, you know, the dad needs to get involved with something. So I will try to finish episode one.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I will have to report back. It's just backing up it at an unbelievable rate because, you know, in a couple weeks, Punisher is going to be on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to talk about a couple trailers that I watched. I watched the second trailer for Bright, and it definitely paints kind of a different picture of what Bright's going to be about or the style that it's going to be in. But I'm really looking forward to it, and we will see very soon how good it is. And the other one was for another Marvel series. It seems like, you know, Inhumans and... You know, we still have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We should be on Freeform. We're getting Cloak and Dagger, I think. But Hulu has a series based on The Runaways. And I realize that I really don't know much about The Runaways because I didn't recognize who any of the people or any of the kids were in this show. But the thumbnail sketch of what this show is going to be about is a bunch of kids with superpowers who find out that their parents are supervillains.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. So it looks pretty good. So now I might have to get Hulu in addition. Damn you. Okay. Anyways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's going to end my abbreviated share time. Yeah. I think that's it. So
yeah. Don't forget, Stranger Things 2 is also just
around
the corner.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Stranger Things 2 comes out tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I know what I'll be binging this weekend.
Right. Unless you're going to be watching the Mojo movie again.
Well, Emoji movie will be during daytime waking hours for the Boo, and then Stranger Things would be during sleeping hours for the Boo. So those are two different time frames.
Okay. All right. So here's where we're going to end share time. And now we're going to move on over to news. So this is where Art and myself share things we've just seen on the internet that we thought might be somewhat related to the show. So Art, what do you got?
Okay, well, kind of feeding off of the results from the box office, Geostorm could lose $100 million at the box office. So the film only made $67 million worldwide, 14 of which came from domestic screenings. With a $120 million budget, it means the film has to earn at least $300 to $350 million worldwide to break even. And so if it struggles to $200 million worldwide, it will still be $100 million in the hole. This also marks the fifth $100 million film to fail badly at the box office this year. Notable flops are King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, Monster Trucks, and Ghost in the Shell. Warner, however, won't take much of a hit as it's shared costs with both Skydance and Rat Pack, and they're coming off summer and early fall smash hits like Wonder Woman, It, Dunkirk, Annabelle Creation, which have grossed a combined $2.3 billion worldwide. So a $100 million loss is something they can handle. So I just thought that was really interesting. $100 million loss when all is said and done. That's a kick in the teeth.
Okay, I guess I got to talk about Star Wars.
Okay.
All right, so this is not related to The Last Jedi. And I think I'm going to be on a blackout for Last Jedi until I see the movie. But this is a story related to Rebels. So now that Rebels has started, people are wondering, what are the three big questions that Rebels is going to answer? Or what do we need to know? Or what do we want to know? And so IO9 talked to the showrunner, Dave Filoni, about what he thinks the big three questions are. So question number one is, what happens to Ezra and Kanan? Right? Because at that point in the beginning of A New Hope, Jedi is supposed to be extinct.
Right.
Kind of thing. So what happened to those two? Question number two is, what happens to Thrawn? Because Thrawn seems pretty high up in the Imperial, for lack of a better term, org chart. And, you know, we don't see hide nor hair of him in any of the movies. So what happens to him?
Mm-hmm.
And then question number three is, people are pretty sure that Ahsoka dies. Or
right.
Or something, or, you know, how does she die and under what circumstances? And he says there's going to be all kinds of different questions answered, but those are really the big three of the resolution we're going to get in this supposedly final season of Rebels. So we have that to look forward to. All right, Art, what you got next?
Okay, so new trailer, Godzilla Planet of the Monsters. So Toho Pictures has premiered a new trailer for a feature-length anime, Godzilla Planet of the Monsters, which hits Japan on November 17th, ahead of a Netflix worldwide release later this year. So I've been a big fan of giant monsters, and especially Godzilla, ever since I was a kid. So this has me really interested. It's supposed to be a trilogy, and it's going to have a heavy sci-fi bent. The story is set 20,000 years in the future. Mankind left Earth many millennia ago, with Godzilla having dominated the planet for all that time. Now humanity has returned to reclaim the planet, leading to a fateful final confrontation. Polygon Pictures, the creators of Knights of Cydonia, animates the Koban Shizuno-directed film, which boasts a voice cast that includes Yuki Kaji, Takahiro Sakurai, Mamoru Miyano, Jinuchi Suwabi, Kana Hanazawa, and Tamakazu Sugita.
Easy for you to say.
I tried really, really hard. We're going to see. I'm going to send Richard a list and see what he thinks. But anyway, like I said, I've always been a huge Godzilla fan. I mean, back from all the 60s and 70s movies that re-aired in my childhood, you know, on the Channel 44 growing up in the Midwest, on the UHF channels. I was always down for those movies and just loved them as a kid. So I'm really excited about this, an anime Godzilla, and we're getting three movies out of it, and it's coming to Netflix. So I couldn't be happier.
Interesting. All right. You're going to want to buckle in for this one.
Okay.
All right. So we're getting toward the end of the month. And what does that mean? Is that we get articles on what is coming out. Can't talk tonight. What's coming and what's going from Netflix for November?
Mm-hmm.
So, we already know about The Punisher. And I guess Spike Lee is doing a series for She's Gotta Have It, kind of based on his film that he did a while back.
Mm-hmm.
They also have an original series, Mudbound, about following the aftermath of a family's relocation to Mississippi during World War II. Stand-up fans... there's going to be some new stand-up specials, two from Brian Regan, Nunchucks and Flamethrowers and Mea Culpa. And they're also the first season of Trailer Park Boys, Out of the Park USA. I don't know what that means. All right. It's probably why such a good idea to bring it up. Okay, so what's leaving if all that great stuff is coming? Well, the Matrix trilogy will no longer be able to be watched on Netflix. The entire run of How I Met Your Mother, and also a removal of a film that I believe that the Backstreet producers talked about, Hard Candy. That will also be leaving. I'm going to reverse it a little bit. I'm going to do a rundown of the things that are leaving. November 1st, Hard Candy, all the matrices, Twilight, yay. V for Vendetta. Sky High will not be on as long. Coming on November 5th. The Heartbreak Kid on November 8th. November 15th. Jesse, seasons 1 through 4. November 16th. Cristela, season 1, is leaving Netflix. Some show, Gringolandia, will be leaving on November 25th. And I think that's about it for newsworthy stuff on what's leaving. Okay, here's what's coming. All right, so November 1st, Chappie.
Oh, wow.
Field of Dreams, Men in Black, Michael Clayton, Scary Movie, Pursuit of Happiness, The Whole Nine Yards. November 3rd, we have a Netflix original for The Big Family Cooking Showdown, Season 1, for those fans of cooking shows. November 7th, let's see if this rings any bells with you. Dizzy and Bop's Big Adventure, The Great Music Caper. Or how about Project MC Squared, Part 6?
Oh,
isn't that a show that...
Mm-hmm. Aubrey does like that show. Yep.
Okay, November 10th, Dino Truck Supercharged, Season 1. Glitter Force Doki Doki, Season 2. Does that sound familiar to you?
I think she does watch some of the Glitter Force. It's not anything I've ever watched with her. She watches that on her own on her tablet.
Four girls summon their inner superheroes to defend Earth and the magical kingdom of Splendorious from King Mercenaire and his minions.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I have watched that.
Okay.
Not a lot, but yes, I have seen it.
All right. Just making sure there. All right. Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed releases on November 13th. Final season of Longmire, November 17th. I don't know why that resonated me for a second. Santa Claus, AWS.
Mm.
Not the Santa Claus. Spirit Riding Free, Season 3. Stretch Armstrong and the Flex Fighter, Season 1. November 20th, we have Piranha. November 22nd, The Boss Baby.
Very good movie. Totally worth watching.
And... I've heard Broadchurch is a good series. So November 27th, Broadchurch Season 3. And then My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, Season 7, Part 2.
Mm, okay.
Wow, there's a lot of words there.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
I think that's about it for Netflix. So there's a whole bunch of stuff coming and going.
Yeah, maybe Longmire caught your eye because you want to see more Starbuck.
Yeah, very true.
And then, I'm very interested in Chappie. As far as what's going away, the two things that I think are the biggest hit, Sky High and The Matrix, I have both of those on DVD. So take them. Okay. I don't care.
All right. Yeah, if you're missing it, just go to Arts House. He has affordable, rates. Go ahead.
all right. Next up on my list, the Raid director to helm a Deathstroke film. So at one point, Gareth Evans... the director of The Raid. He's in early discussions to pen and direct a film centering on DC Comics villain Deathstroke with True Blood and Magic Mike alum Joe Manganiello attached to star. Manganiello was attached to star as a character who was a service antagonist on the Batman film back when Ben Affleck was attached to direct. At the time, a brief video went online of Manganiello in costume on a set of Justice League. But then Batman got delayed and overhauled with Matt Reeves taking over the project and shelving Affleck's script. As a result, both Manganiello and Deathstroke looked like they wouldn't be part of the film. So this is back on track. It has me very interested. I've read some of the Deathstroke comics. I never made it to the second season of Arrow, where he served as a big bad. So we'll see what happens and where this goes, but I'm really interested.
Okay, I have two little blurbs.
Okay.
And then I'll be done. Kingpin is coming back for Daredevil Season 3. So I am really happy about this because he's one of the best things about the Daredevil series.
Yes.
He was in one episode in the second season, but how much he'll appear in the third season is pretty much unclear right now. The other thing I need to talk about is Power Rangers. The title says Power Rangers sequel, very much in doubt. Now, we've heard from multiple people that they enjoyed this Power Rangers movie that came out.
I did.
They're looking more hopeless than ever, as it has been revealed that production company Saban Entertainment has reportedly decided not to renew the trademark for the film's logo. It's a logo that also extends to games, TV, and multimedia content, and its lack of a renewal is suggestive... They've abandoned the idea of a follow-up completely, as opposed to creating a new logo for a sequel, in which case the trademark would likely have been retained. The film's director, Dan Israelite, has previously said he hopes a sequel may still happen despite the film underwhelming at the box office. At last report, there were early discussions of a sequel, but nothing has seemingly progressed beyond that point. They said it underperformed, but it did gross $142 million worldwide on a $100 million budget.
Okay. That's interesting. As far as, like, he says they will not renew the trademark, but I thought Saban was, like, the company that was completely behind it. I didn't think it was I think they were licensing it anyway. I thought that it was their wholly owned creation. I'm going to have to dig into that a little more.
Yeah. I don't know. All right, Art, what you got left?
Okay. So Tom Hanks creates robots in BIOS. So Tom Hanks is set to take the lead in a sci-fi film BIOS from newcomer Craig Lux SpecScript. Several studios, including Legendary, Warner Brothers Pictures, and Studio 8, are in talks to produce. The story follows a robot that lives on a post-apocalyptic Earth, built to protect the life of his dying creator's beloved dog. It learns about life, love, friendship, and the meaning of human life. So another robot, just kind of a robot coming-of-age tale. So we'll see what happens here with that. And then the other thing that really caught my eye, last little bit, Young Guns and Ace Ventura reboots are on the way. Morgan Creek Productions is set to rebrand itself as Morgan Creek Entertainment Group and has announced ambitious plans, which include reboots of its library titles across television, features, and digital. Amongst the 60 film works owned by Morgan Creek that are said to be under consideration are Ace Ventura, Major League, Young Guns, along with horror thriller titles such as Dead Ringers, Diabolique, Pacific Heights, and Nightbreed. You remember Nightbreed?
It sounds familiar.
I want to say Clive Barker, a novel that was turned into a movie. So their first attempt at a reboot refresh of a catalog title began a few years ago and resulted in Fox's The Exorcist, a TV series which is now in its second season. So this process will be accelerated with remakes planned for TV, including discussions with a streaming service for Young Guns. They're also lining up a showrunner for Dead Ringers. Ace Ventura, on the other hand, will be a mainstream theatrical production relaunch with the plan to be a new film in the spirit of the original as opposed to a straight remake. So we will see what happens with all of that. And that wraps up my news, good sir.
All right. And that's going to be it for the news, and that's going to be it for this episode of Backseat Box Office. So the website is backseatproducers.com, where you can find back episodes of this show or episodes of the other show, Backseat Producers. You can also find out where to leave a voicemail, or you could send us an email off of the website. There's a bunch of stuff on there. So go check out backseatproducers.com, backseatproducers.com. And with that, everybody, thank you for listening, and take care of yourselves. Go see a movie, and we will catch you next time. Art, what do you have to say for yourself?
Good night, everybody. Go watch something. Call us up and tell us about it.